Very interesting My Life guest for you this afternoon. Meet Benjamin Roberts, an author from Heathfield in Sussex. And he's here to talk about his second book. It's called Bottled. And it tells the story of English football's somewhat complicated relationship, shall we say, with booze. And I can understand why you wanted to write this book, because, you know, off the top of your head, you know, you can think George Best, Paul Gascoigne, Paul Merson. I was reading just the other day, apparently Colleen Rooney has told Wayne that he's got to give up the booze. What do you think is the connection? Why would it appear that some footballers really struggle with alcohol?
I think in every line of work, you're going to get, you know, just your man on the street, there's a few hundred people, there might be 5 or 10 of them that have a problem with alcohol. Mm. I think that it could be, and may well be, I think a lot of study bears this out and a lot of conversations I had, that high risk, high reward lifestyle requires that sort of dedication, that really single-mindedness, and sometimes there's two sides of the same coin there. So somebody like Paul Gascoigne, for example, you know, the reason he got to be as good as he was at football was that he just practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. Mm. But the thing is that there's no sort of let off from that. There's no way to let off steam other than perhaps going down a dangerous path sometimes.
And that's the release. I mean, in the book, it says, you know, that footballers are thought to be twice as susceptible to addiction than the average man.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's a lot of factors. If you think particularly in a sort of social media age, there's also a bit of a risk of more of a risk than there certainly was 20 or 30 years ago of getting caught out as well. Because it used to be that, you know, somebody would just write a letter to the club and say, oh, I saw such and such out.
Yeah.
The other night, whereas now, actually, you know, you can get caught out everywhere. And I think that can lead to a sort of a certain level of paranoia and people just trying to find something to escape, whether that be alcohol or gambling, is another big issue in football at the moment.
I wonder as well, because as a football player, you know, if you're good, you will experience massive highs when you're successful on the pitch. But once that's over, once you've retired, maybe you're kind of trying to find some way of replicating those highs?
I think so, yeah. And one of the other things that I found out when writing the book is that the players are most at risk these days of sort of falling into addictive behaviours in the sort of 2 to 5 years after they've retired. It tends to be with the fitness levels required to be a professional sportsman, a professional footballer these days. You might not get away with it, especially in the Premier League or the Championship, for too long. And so you might become a binger and just do it for a month in the summer, something along those lines. But then when that's all over, you've got probably a bit more money than the guy walking down the road there.
Yeah.
And you can sort of fall into those types of behaviour because you haven't got the structure coming from the club anymore. You haven't got people helping you, you know, keeping hold of your passport for you and booking your flights for you.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
I think the culture surrounding football has changed an awful lot, though. I mean, I remember, you know, growing up, you'd see those pictures, wouldn't you? I can't remember which World Cup it was, but the dentist chair and pictures of footballers, you know, sitting back and having bottles of tequila poured down their throat, and kind of the kind of hard drinking culture of maybe the 80s and what have you. It seems that football has moved on a lot since then.
It certainly has, yeah. So that was Euro 96 with the dentist chair.
Yeah.
And that was probably the sort of high watermark of that type of behaviour. It really sort of tailed off, particularly from 2000. And I think that's because you're getting a lot more foreign players into the English Premier League and Premiership at that point. And it's just having that influence on the dressing room, and it's sort of subduing that atmosphere, because these players from France and Germany are coming in and they're thinking, what is going on here?
You're supposed to be athletes,
yeah,
and you're necking,
yeah,
back tequila.
You know, and it wasn't that they were against it as such, but they thought, you know, we're professional sports people, we didn't grow up with this culture in our leagues.
Yeah. How easy or not was it to research this book? I mean, were former footballers, current footballers willing to talk to you about their alcohol use?
It was a sort of mixed bag, really. There was some that just didn't want to talk about it, and that's fair enough. You know, that they've gone through that and perhaps dealt with that, and they just want to move on from it. But I did have several people who were quite open with me and, you know, really dedicated some time and taught me through their careers and what they thought the pitfalls that led them to where they got to, some aspects of the game, and how they got out of that.
Yeah, I know Tony Adams has done an awful lot in this area, hasn't he?
He has indeed, yeah. So when he'd been sober perhaps 4 or 5 years, he decided that, you know, there's places out there for everyone, but there needed to be something specific for sports people and footballers, and he had that experience himself. So he set up the Sporting Chance Clinic in 2000, and that's still doing great work.
Mm. Did writing the book make you kind of look at alcohol in a different light?
I suppose I had my own relationship with alcohol. Sure. I don't drink today. I think it gave me some insights into how professional sports people, professional footballers, had dealt with their experiences, and really just looking into, you know, these footballers don't exist in a vacuum, and the way that the nation drinks has changed in the last 20 to 25 years as well.
Yeah, and because, you know, a lot of fans will sort of put drinking and watching football kind of together. You know, you go for a few beers, you go and watch the game. It's part of the whole experience, they might argue.
Yes, it is, and it always has been, really. And this was a thing in the sort of late 1800s. Breweries and pub chains, such as they were then, began to realise that, and they became involved in the sponsorship of football clubs because they realised it was a way to promote their licensed premises.
Mm. Do you think there's enough support for footballers and sports people in general when it comes to alcoholism?
I think there's always more that can be done, but it's changed a lot in the last two decades, and there's various organisations out there, not just Sporting Chance, and I think within the wider context of mental health, and, you know, we talk a lot more about mental health just, you know, in general now, but in sport as well. I think you've got people like Danny Rose being more open about his experiences as a footballer, and I think that can only be a good thing. You know, these conversations need to happen.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Greaves, and you talk in the book, was kind of the first player, wasn't he, to come out openly and talk about his own addiction problems.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, he sort of jokingly says in one of his autobiographies, I was the first to come out as an alcoholic, and it really was a pretty groundbreaking thing at the time, because the drinking culture was so embedded in the game. The teams he played for, Tottenham, West Ham, so for him to do that, and, you know, it took him some time, but he got there in the end.
But that must be very hard in itself. If you do, you know, realise there's an issue and you think, well, I'm going to kind of go down the route of recovery, and yet you're constantly surrounded by alcohol and that booze culture.
Yeah. I think that's a reality that sports people and footballers have to face up to, but it's a reality that anybody has to face up to. And that's not a challenge that's unique to them. If you think about all the alcohol advertising and sponsorship and so on, that we just sort of passively see on the TV.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. This is the second book you've written. The first book was also about football.
Yes, it was Gunshots and Goalposts, which was the story of Northern Irish football.
Mm, okay, so football definitely a recurring theme for you. You're a big fan.
It certainly is, yeah. Big Charlton Athletic fan, I have to say. Okay. Probably shouldn't say that on here.
See goals, but we'll let you off. We'll let you off. Have you always lived in Sussex? Or
I grew up in Eastbourne. I used to live...
So why Charlton Athletic then?
My dad grew up in Charlton.
So. It's so often the way, though, isn't it, that kids follow the team that their parents support.
Yeah, I think when you're 11, 12, you're going to go where your dad takes you.
Yeah, so do as you're told.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this book, the second book you've written, Bottled, English Football's Boozy Story, is out now. How can people get hold of it?
They can get hold of it on all the usual online outlets. It's in Waterstones, certainly in Waterstones in Brighton. I've just had a look at it.
That must be a moment when you see your own book on the shelf in Waterstones.
It's the first time that I've seen my own book on a shelf because I never saw the other one on a shelf.
I hope you got a picture.
It was a lovely moment. I did.
Brilliant. I'm glad to hear it. In the book, you talk about kind of trashed hotel rooms to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you talk about the China Jump Club. What was the China Jump Club?
So this was where the dentist chair
was.
So there was an adjoining room to the bar, and that's where the dentist chair was. They took, you know, Paul Gascoigne and various others in there, and that's where it all happened. And of course that led to the famous celebration during the tournament.
I see, that's where it all started. Lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in. Benjamin Roberts from Heathfield, and that book out now, Bottled: English Football's Boozy Story.